my favorite Easter hymn. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It is good that we can gather in the presence of our Lord this morning and offer him praise and thanksgiving for all of the good things that God has done. Welcome to those who are joining us on the live stream, both members and friends of the congregation and anyone who may be finding us for the first time. It is a pleasure to welcome you into worship this morning. The announcements were on the screen before you as you were gathering and also are contained in the bulletin. So I hope you've had the opportunity to take a look at them and make note of those which are of most importance to you. Lots of things happening. We have a full page of announcements this morning in the bulletin, so do take a moment to look at those. The women of the church would be angry with me if I didn't tell you that they have butter tarts that they are going to sell you after worship this morning in the lower hall. Or not the lower hall, on the main level outside the sanctuary. So please make note of that and go. I understand they go early, so go quickly, so you may want to make sure you're there early. Perhaps the other of most importance is that I will be absent from the congregation from April 15th to the 22nd, so starting on Wednesday of this week until Tuesday of the week following to do some self-directed study. During my absence, Alex will be filling the pulpit next week, and Mark Bourgon has agreed to handle any pastoral emergencies that might arise. Perhaps you noted on the screens, the Presbyterian World Service and Development is hosting a global partner event. They're bringing members of the broader church that we work with in various places in for a time of education and fellowship, and it's happening at St. Paul's Presbyterian Church on April the 29th at 12:30, so make note of that. And we are starting to plan for the McGaughey Organ Concert. We're thrilled to have Manuel Piazza as our guest musician this year for the McGaughey Organ Concert. The concert will take place on Friday, March the 1st at 7 p.m., so do plan to be May 1st, yes. If you're going to do it March the 1st, you're going to have to jump in your TARDIS and move backwards. If you don't know Doctor Who, you just didn't understand that reference at all. But for those who did, you know. So make a plan to be here for that evening of music as well. As we enter into Christ's presence this morning, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world and that we who are his people seek to walk in his light. This morning's call to worship is a responsive call, as is our custom, and will appear before you on the screens. I would invite you to stand as we enter the presence of our Lord this morning. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his mercy, God has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
We rejoice, for we are children of God.
We proclaim our faith. No power can overcome Christ's love, and as his body, we receive salvation. In love and joy, we praise the Lord. Let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. God of abundance, in you alone we find all we need in this life, and even more in the life to come. Open our eyes to see your glory and our ears to hear your word, until our hearts burn with the joy of your presence and our lives proclaim the power of your love. We pray all of these things in the name of our risen Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. And our opening hymn for this morning is number 257 in the Book of Praise. The strife is o'er, the battle done. Hymn number 257 in the Book of Praise, or as it appears before you on the screens. Friends, God has made known to us in deeds of power, in signs, and in wonders, and will not abandon us if we confess the truth about our lives. As we gather before God this day, let us come confessing our sins as we say the prayer as it appears before us. Wondrous God, you have broken the power of sin and death, and by our great mercy, you have given us new birth into a living hope. This we proclaim, this we want to believe. But seeds of doubt grow quickly in our hearts. Fear chokes off confidence and prevents us from receiving your Spirit. We multiply our sorrows by worshiping what we see and hear more than you, our delight and our salvation. O God, in your great mercy, grant us the peace that passes understanding. Forgive us and draw us close to you, that we may breathe deeply of your presence and find in you the fullness of joy. Amen. My friends, hear this good news given to us by the psalmist. God is our refuge and will not abandon us. In Jesus Christ, we are reconciled to God. That is a promise of peace and eternal joy. Share then the peace that has been given to you with one another. And may the peace of God be with you all. Good morning, choir, and peace. Our hymn is number 755. Go ye into the world. Hymn 755. Throughout the season of Lent, I don't have any young people this morning except for Jamila. Oh, Kian's coming. All right. Wasn't sure whether you were going to come down or if you're just going to stay in the choir this morning. Throughout the season of Lent, we talked about going on a journey, right? And we talked about all those things we would take on a journey. We thought we were done of our journeying when we got to the end of the Lenten season, didn't we? But this morning, we have put before us by the gospel another journey. As we finished our series of stories about going on a journey during the season of Lent, we stopped with, do you remember what we stopped with, Kian? We stopped with traveling companions, right? With the other people that it would be nice to take a journey with. It's always good to have friends with you, isn't it? So that was where we ended. This morning, we have a slightly different focus. So we can listen for this during our sermon time this morning. And as you're listening to the scripture readings being read in just a moment, this morning, Jesus invites his disciples to return to Galilee. And so we're going to talk about what is the significance of Galilee and why do the disciples return there. And now downstairs, we're doing Thomas this morning. But up here, we're doing all of the disciples and their return to Galilee. And part of that return to Galilee is the encouragement to show God's love out into the world, to be servant people, sharing with others the good news about God. So that's what we're going to listen for up here this morning. So if Kian, you will have to test everybody this morning to make sure that they got everything that I said just right, okay? That's your job. And then downstairs, it's Doubting Thomas. So with that, we'll send our young people off to classes this morning, and we'll look forward to having them join us again after worship during our fellowship time. And let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Guiding God, send your Holy Spirit upon the reading of this word, that it may serve to show us the path of life and lead us into your presence, where there is fullness of joy forevermore. Amen.
The first reading comes to us from Acts chapter 2, verses 14a and then 22 to 32. Found on page 111 in your pew Bibles. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. Fellow Jews and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Fellow Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you, as you yourselves know this man, handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having released him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh will live in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One experience corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Fellow Israelites, I may say to you confidently of our ancestor David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Since he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would put one of his descendants on his throne. Foreseeing this, David spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, saying, he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh experience corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that all of us are witnesses.
The responsive reading is Psalm 16. Protect me, O God, for in you I take refuge.
I say to the Lord, you are my God. I have no good apart from you.
As for the holy ones in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight.
Those who choose another God multiply their sorrows. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names upon my lips.
The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot.
The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage.
I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me.
I keep the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved.
Therefore, my heart is glad, and my soul rejoices. My body also rests secure.
For you do not give me up to Sheol, or let your faithful ones see the pit.
You show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The New Testament reading is from 1 Peter 1, verses 3 to 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that, though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
Once more, let us join our voices in praise. Our hymn is number 500. Our hymn is number 259. This joyful Eastertide, number 259. And we continue to read from God's word, as it has been given to us in Matthew chapter 28, reading verses 16 to 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. April holds a fascination for many people. Here in the church, April is normally, not always, sometimes it slips into the month of March, but normally April is the month in which we celebrate Easter. But beyond these four walls, it's also a month of significance. For many of us, tired of winter, we look to April to bring about some hint of springtime. And for still others, April marks the return of the boys of summer and the beginning of another baseball season. The game of baseball has many traditions and superstitions that are associated with it. They have their own language, like a 6-4-3 double play. And of course, all of the malapropisms that we attribute to Yogi Berra. Yogi Berra was a player in the major leagues for 19 years, playing, going back and forth between mostly the New York Yankees, but he spent a little bit of time with the New York Mets, which must have been an interesting life. And then he was a manager or a coach for another 24 years. That's close to 50 years in baseball. So along the way, he must have said something that was important. Indeed, there are many things that Yogi Berra said and for which he is remembered. Most of them, well, he became known for these statements that, well, they made no sense at all. And yet, at the same time, they made perfect sense. Notable amongst his malapropisms was this comment. It's deja vu all over again. Now, for those of you who know what deja vu means, that we've already seen it before, the fact that the all over again is a little bit redundant. And yet, it was appropriate when he said it. It described what it was like to watch the New York Yankees of the early 1960s with Mickey Mantle and Roger Maris leading off the order, going up and hitting back-to-back home runs in game after game after game. Berra was asked what it was like, and he said, it's deja vu all over again. And as we turn to our scripture reading this morning, the story, the continuation of the Easter story from Matthew's gospel, and Jesus' instruction to his disciples to meet him in Galilee, well, we kind of arrive at one of those moments where it's deja vu all over again. As the disciples travel this morning to Galilee, following Jesus' invitation, it's a trip back to where they've started. So everything should look familiar. Galilee was that portion of Jesus' ministry where the characteristics of the kingdom of God were being revealed and lived out in Jesus' interactions with the people that he came into contact with each day. Galilee is where Jesus called the first disciples. Galilee was where the crowds were taught, and Galilee was where people were healed of their diseases. Indeed, as we begin our reading from Matthew's gospel this morning, the gospel writer says this. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had directed them. In Matthew, there's only one location that is referred to in this way. It's referred to as the mountain. There are plenty of mountains, but only one, the mountain. And that is the place on the shores of the Sea of Galilee where Jesus gives the Sermon on the Mount, where he speaks the Beatitudes, where he declares that God's favor to those who seek to live according to God's will, with special reference to the disadvantaged. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for theirs is the kingdom of earth, for they shall inherit the earth. I could go on. Galilee is the fulfillment of Jesus' promise to meet his disciples again after the crucifixion. Back in the Garden of Gethsemane, as Jesus prays before his arrest, Jesus also instructed his disciples that he would meet them in Galilee. Matthew chapter 26, verses 31 and 32 state, "Then Jesus said to them, 'You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go ahead of you to Galilee.'" So Jesus had told them this before. And for we who are in the church today, living in challenging times, this reading from Matthew's gospel is addressed to us as well, as much as it was to those first 12. This text is a reminder that as Jesus promised to meet his disciples in Galilee, we too have been promised that Jesus will meet us here within the church, within the community of faith, where people gather in the name of God, where God is worshiped and Jesus is glorified. There, Christ is in the midst of us. It is the reminder to the church that the kingdom of God is defined not solely by the victory of Christ over death that happened in Jerusalem, but by what that means to all of those who suffer and are powerless in our world. As at the time of the Transfiguration, we cannot stop and stay on the top of the mountain where God's power is revealed, but that we must return to the plain. We must return to where God's people are and carry forth God's love to the world. We meet God most clearly in our service to others. And in those acts of healing and wholeness, we who embody the gospel of Jesus Christ today enable others to also witness God's love as they reach out in mercy and compassion, or as we reach out, pardon me, in mercy and compassion. God's love goes out into the world through you. All of these things were what happened during Jesus' Galilean ministry before, to use the gospel terminology, he turned his face toward Jerusalem, which led to his crucifixion and his resurrection. As Jesus' ministry began in this unassuming region of Galilee, far away from the religious authorities and power structures in Jerusalem, so the ministry of Jesus continues today. Not in great shows of worship or praise or authority, but simply as people are fed, as the sick are healed, as those who are cut off find their place in the circle of God's love, there the ministry of Jesus Christ is made complete. It is deja vu all over again. Thanks be to God for his word to us today. This morning's affirmation of faith is taken from the living faith document, we read chapter 9.1 on the mission of the church. This reading is a responsive reading, and you are invited to respond where indicated. As God sent Christ to us, so Christ sends us into the world.
Yet to proclaim Christ in word and deed.
Mission is evangelism, the offer of salvation to all people in the power of the Holy Spirit to be received through faith in Christ. It asks people to repent of their sins, to trust Christ, to be baptized, and to enter a life honoring Jesus as Lord. Mission is service, a call to help people in need and to permeate all of life with the compassion of God. Amen. Sisters and brothers, we have no good apart from God. Therefore, let us keep God at the forefront of our minds and give generously from all that we have been given, that others may also receive from the fullness of God. Let us now present our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Generous God, you are our portion and our cup. In you our hearts are glad, our souls rejoice, and our bodies rest. Bless and multiply our offerings and pledges, that they may bring the joy of your presence more deeply into our world. We pray all of these things in and through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you in the Holy Spirit be one God, now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you.
Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Resurrecting God, we give you thanks that you sent your Son, Jesus the Christ, to open to us the gates of your eternal kingdom and to assure us that there is nothing that can separate us from your love. In a doubting world, keep us in faith that we may hear your promises and know them to be true. We pray for the Church universal. Breathe upon us your Holy Spirit, that we may honor and pass on the great inheritance of new life that we have received through Jesus Christ to generations yet to come. We pray for Mother Earth, so wonderfully and fearfully made, and yet just as polluted as we ourselves have become polluted through our sin. May we touch her wounds with healing care and love, knowing that as we fulfill your calling to us to steward your creation, we assure our own lives and the lives of generations yet to come. We pray for the whole world, for its nations, its rulers, and its people, that your wisdom and your peace may prevail. Free those who are suffering and those who are oppressed. Cause peace to dawn on all corners of our globe and your people to work for the inbreaking of your peace. We pray for our own community of faith, that we may bear the gospel message to our families and friends. Teach us to be inviting and embolden us to share your good news with those around us. Be near to those who are ill and those who are awaiting diagnosis and procedures. Grant peace to the dying and all those who care for them. May they find hope in your promise that just as Jesus was raised from the dead by the power of the Father, that we too shall have new life through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Blessed are you, O God, who through Jesus Christ, crucified and risen, and in the community of the Holy Spirit, gives us an inheritance that is imperishable and unfading. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught his disciples to pray in this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing praise for this morning is number, it's just going to appear before you on the screens. Go to the world. The hymn will appear before you on the screens. Thank you. And now, let us trust and love the Christ that you cannot see, and let that bring you joy, for that faith will bring the salvation of your soul. And may the God who loves and resurrects us give you a goodly portion of the Holy Spirit and new birth into a living hope, made known to us through Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.